The opinions expressed in our talk shows are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to Defy and Hustle. This is Noreen Ehrlich, and we have a great show for you tonight. You were just listening to music by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and the reason we are talking about them tonight is because they are doing a one-time, one-night stop in Stamford on Tuesday, April 16th, and we want you to go and buy tickets online. And also we want to talk about how amazing and brilliant the Philharmonic is and all the people who put this show together are. Some of those people are in the room with me right now. So let me introduce first my co-host for this evening, Kelly.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Kelly here.
And also we have ambassadors that are here on behalf of the London Philharmonic show. And that is, I want to call them celebrities and community leaders, right? I think everybody would agree with that. So we have B. Crumbine.
Got it.
All right, sorry. So I told you, B, that it would take me a little time to warm up. And then we also have one of my favorite people and my neighbor, Stephen Magnusson.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can I call you both celebrities to some extent?
We can be called heavy working volunteers.
Sure, yeah.
People who love Greenwich, and I think that's a key piece to this program. And you are dealing with people who care a great deal about this community. And certainly Steve and I fit that category.
So I want to get a little bit into your background, but first I wanted you to explain to our audience how the show came together and how you got involved in it. Because it was, I had described it as unplanned in our social media post. And you tell me if that's true.
Unplanned in what context?
That what I read was that the London Philharmonic has their schedule planned out for years. Yes. But it wasn't the case that they were supposed to come to Stamford. And yet here they are.
Well, that's correct. We all love a human interest piece, and that's exactly what this is, that there was a young Greenwich woman, grew up in Greenwich, and Steve will tell you all about her story. But she lost her father last year, and she is the chairman of London Philharmonic Orchestra, which is doubly remarkable. A, she's a woman, and B, she's an American woman. And I find this just a fascinating story, which we will talk about as the session goes on. But the idea that she realized that she wanted to do something in memory of her father, both in terms of the music of this extraordinary Philharmonic Orchestra, but also in terms of creating scholarship opportunities for deserving children who might not otherwise have them. So this is a really deep sense of caring from a woman who also loves Greenwich, as we do, and who wanted to have her father be recognized and memorialized in music. And I think it's a charming, lovely concept.
It's very inspiring. Mm. So the woman, maybe you want to, is
Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you? Well, you know, I can tell you everything, let me just say, but
More my perspective of coming from it was Lisa Weichert, who is one of the other daughters. She and I worked together in real estate in town. And she had said, you know, she knew that I was a past opera singer for many years.
Yes.
And said, you know, it would be really great. We're trying to get the London Philharmonic to come here in honor of my dad. Would you like to be involved? And I just said, I'd be honored. Oh, that's amazing, crazy.
So, yes, just tell the audience again, her dad is Lloyd Hull.
Yes.
And Lloyd Hull was he lived in Greenwich for 60 years. He raised his family in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. He was married to his wife Mary.
Yes.
For I don't know how long before he died, in my understanding, in January of 2018 at the age of 95.
95, mm-hmm.
He was a World War II veteran.
He was a World War II veteran.
Precisely. Both in the Normandy theater and in Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an amazing man.
Quite remarkable.
And his daughter, both the daughters, so you were talking about
Victoria
Lisa.
Victoria and Lisa.
Yes.
Right, yeah. So basically, they said, hey, we'd love to do this in honor of our dad, and we don't know when we're going to do it, but we're going to try to put it together. And at least for me, when she talked to me about it, was a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
And then all of a sudden, she said, hey, it's happening. And I couldn't believe it. And so I said, I would love to be involved.
So a couple of years ago, he was still alive.
Right before. Excuse me.
Okay.
Right before.
Sorry.
Right before. Maybe he was alive. I don't know. I'm trying to think back. When was it? At least 2 years ago.
Okay. So maybe I got
was.
The.
Then he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could have. I looked online because I found this beautiful obituary that described his life. And it did say February. I want to say it said that the funeral was in February of 2018. I was wondering how quickly they could put something together if the London Philharmonic is planned out for years in advance.
Well, I think the important thing, Noreen, is that that yes, it is planned out, and it was planned out for New York, long time
Lincoln
ago.
Center.
So they're doing a private concert in a private home, imagine, in Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lovely. I'm sure it'll be a chamber group because they won't have 100
access
instruments in a private home. But then they're doing an afternoon and an evening performance on 2 days at Lincoln Center, which is, again, extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that once she realized that she could find an evening and do a tribute to her father, it just became wonderfully tempting, and people are so enthusiastic about it.
Let's talk a little bit about Lady Victoria Robey, OBE. And OBE means Officer of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire.
Oh, yes.
Now, Lady Victoria Robey grew up in Greenwich, and she's an amazing woman. Her father's amazing. We can come back around to him, but she, would it be fair to describe her as a prodigy?
I would certainly say so.
Yes. And she, at a very young age, was reading, playing piano, singing choir, playing the organ, and playing the flute. And she sang with her mother. Her sister was, I learned to play my sister's flute so I could be part of the orchestra, she writes. Then she goes
overachiever, obviously, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I love that.
So this is what's interesting to me, is that maybe she's not necessarily the prodigy we think of in music, is that her skill was, she was fluent in reading. By like 3-4 years old, she just understood how to read. And so had this extra time, and it was her mother who then created, let's get her into music, and she found her love and passion for it, and then developed these incredible skill sets.
That's right. And I think a piece that's interesting, and we'll talk about this later, but interesting to remember at this point, is that she feels and felt that music was just something instinctively glorious in her own mind, and wanted to pass it on as it was passed on to her. So at one point in her life, having achieved tremendous musical awareness and skill, first of all, she really wanted to pass it on, pay it forward, I guess is what one would say. And she decided to start a program that would allow her to give the kind of music education that she knew that underprivileged children in inner London would not have had.
Right, she ended
and
up
that
in
was
London.
Her desire. Mm-hmm. Yes, ended up in London, and married and had 3 children, and now is married to a lovely young Englishwoman as well, also terribly musical. So music has just run her path, which I think is delightful. And she wants to be sure that the children in London have the same course of choice.
Mm-hmm. This is London Music Masters.
Music Masters, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this is
yes.
a program which, let's see, she established it over 10 years ago, and it provides excellent music education to 1,500 inner-city children in state schools in London. And then it seems that, maybe you can explain this, Bea, but after they teach the students, they expect the students to turn around and also mentor other students.
Well, and they are mentored by their professors. They have master classes and they do performances with under the aegis of the training that they have received. And it's an extraordinary effort to bring children to music who wouldn't have it otherwise. Highly commendable. And that is why Her Majesty the Queen wanted to recognize Lady Victoria as Lady Victoria, because this is an effort which involves an enormous amount of work and devotion and belief in the power of children to learn music. And here we are again. These children she knew could do it. And any number of them have now gone on and they're playing in recognized orchestras. They went to music conservatories. They're young people and young adults who have grown extraordinarily through their music knowledge. And it wouldn't have happened had it not been for she.
No, she is a real inspiration.
Truly.
As is her father.
And visionary to see how far the power of music has and what it can do for students.
Exactly.
You know, especially that
exactly.
could potentially be lost in the structure it gives them and
right.
brings into their life.
So here she is, the first woman since the orchestra was founded in 1932 mm-hmm. To be in charge of it. And she's not British. And she is extremely musically knowledgeable, which they must love because she attends tons of events all over London with her husband, and it's a very exciting time for both of them to be in the city.
She's the chairman
of London Philharmonic. That's right.
Philharmonic.
That's right. And in 2013, she began to be recognized by the powers that be in London, mm-hmm. and she was made. You're going to love this.
Okay.
An alderman of the Worshipful Company of Musicians, which
like
is
that.
One of the old guilds. And by virtue of that was granted the freedom of the City of London, which allowed her to herd her sheep across London Bridge to take them to market, which, of course, is a very important thing back in the day of the guilds, because if you could get your sheep to market, you would sell your
mm-hmm.
sheep.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't get them over the bridge, you had to do some circuitous roundabout path, you were in a different place. So she doesn't have any sheep. She's concerned that this has to be her next life piece. But the wonderful thing is that there is a glorious man named Maestro Antonio Papano, okay. who is the chairman of... I'm sorry, he is the conductor and music director of the Royal Opera House
okay.
at Covent Garden. And he also has been told that he may bring his sheep across the bridge. She had studied with him as a child. He was teaching in Bridgeport, if you can imagine.
Oh, wow.
Born in London, teaching
wow.
in Bridgeport, then ended up
another
going
Connecticut
back.
Person?
Another
no.
Connecticut so, person,
Connecticut
exactly.
In London.
And Tony yeah. is yeah. highly respected, highly remarkably gifted, and he's doing wonderful things at the Royal Opera House. And the idea that the two of them, I just have this picture in mind of little Bo Peep with her, you know, her curved staff and Tony Papano with his little hat, and off the bridge they go with their sheep. And they're both, he's a knight.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
And she's a lady.
Oh, wow.
So it's lovely that these Americans from Connecticut are being recognized.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah.
why this is all so wonderful that we can have Connecticut celebrated in Connecticut mm-hmm. in memory of her father.
So, Stephen.
Yes.
So, you're a realtor here in town?
Yes, I'm a realtor at Douglas Elliman. here in town.
You're
in Greenwich,
one of the top realtors here in town.
Yeah, exactly.
And how long have you been living in Greenwich? Because you had told me that you grew up in Portland.
Right. So I've been in town since 2000 is when I moved here.
And you, I know you're passionate about the community because
yes.
we know each other. Yeah. Now, you sing at the Polo Club in
yeah.
the summertime.
Yeah, I was dubbed as the honorary national anthem singer at Greenwich Polo in the summertime. So.
And I didn't know that you were a singer till one day I saw you at, I think, LaScale, and you had just come from there. But so talk to us a little bit about how you went from... So now you're doing real estate very successfully in this beautiful
town. Yeah,
I've
been doing it about a little over 13 years.
But you, when we spoke to you on the phone the other day, you said you ended up in opera. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say ended up, but you didn't intend to go into opera right away. So why don't you give our audience a little background on your right brain, left brain capabilities.
Right. Mm-hmm. So growing up in Oregon, I... You know, worked on farms and used to drive a tractor and mow lawns. And I had my headphones on and I would sing all the time at the, you know, height of my lungs, I think. I wanted to be a rock and roll star or something, right? Every kid's dream, besides a fireman, which I was a fireman later in life. I did that for about 5 years. Forest fires, though. So for me, I was, you know, played instruments, started piano when I was... maybe 5 or 6, started with that. Had a friend that was also into music as well, and he kind of would get me into him, and then he would stop, and then I would continue. So I ended up like playing guitar, drums. I played the trombone for 8 years, saxophone for 4.
So you came from a musical family?
Yeah, yep.
But you knew you could sing the whole time?
Yeah, so my family, my grandfather would play the accordion, my grandma played by ear, so she could play any song you wanted, you just hum it and she'd start singing. My aunts would harmonize each other, and my dad would sing, and we, you know, it was quite a festival during the Christmas and holiday time, you know.
So you decide to go, you're going off to college to become what?
So was offered a full ride scholarship in my undergrad, and I actually turned it down because I just wanted to learn more about the voice and singing. So I took a half scholarship, and it was at Portland State University because it was an inner school, I mean, inner city university, which is what I wanted because I wanted to get in the music scene. And so I started doing that, and I was singing out with my band, and in the same respect, I was doing classical and or singing for orchestras, and I started singing with the Portland Opera at a very young age. Ended up getting my AGMA card, which is
how young is the young age?
19.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
And then from that. One day I performed with my band in a smoky bar and, you know, not very many people listening and just doing their own thing. And the next day I was singing for 2,000 people that were listening intensely with this amazing string instruments in front of me and with an orchestra, I mean, with a choir. And so I thought, man, maybe there's something I should really look more into this. So when I did that, I... decided that, you know, things just started coming in place, and I ended up getting a full ride to get my master's degree in music, which I then did that, and went on some postdoctoral music at Manhattan School of Music, and just started singing at different apprenticeships.
So that's how you came from the West Coast, or you were in Arizona, and now you find yourself in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Did you want to come to the East Coast, to come to especially a huge city, huge change like Manhattan?
Well, for me, it was the place to go. For classical music, I needed to be here. And I was singing a lot in Europe at the time, too. And things were just branching out. And this is the hub where all the agents are. This is where you come to do all your auditions. It's the easiest place to fly out of, and so the East Coast is where you come. And so I was came out here with my wife at the time, and just she didn't want to move here, actually. She said, I'll move out there full time, but we can't move into the city. We have to live somewhere else. And so that's what brought me to Greenwich.
She has good taste.
Yeah.
Exactly. We applaud
and
that.
How
yes.
did you and B meet?
B and I met actually at, it was a gala for the young Philharmonic.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And a couple years back, and a friend of ours introduced us to each other, and they said, you got to know each other. And
right.
it's funny because we're passionate about certain things, and
right.
and that is music for sure.
Right.
Our town, the community, and we actually related upon, there is this amphitheater that was hand-structed by a local here in town, and he built this amphitheater all out of, it was marble, right? Wasn't it?
Yes, it was marble.
Beautiful.
Where?
Marble.
This was in Coscom.
Massive.
In 1934.
Oh, wow.
And his name was Horton O'Neill, and he built this for his father, David O'Neill. Bought a large chunk of land in Coscom, just above the Mayanus River, and decided to make it sort of a group living situation for his family. So they built several houses, and his father had always wanted an amphitheater. So it's unbelievable. Went
Incredible.
Purchase a beautiful Vermont marble, pale marble with fine striae of gray, a little bit of green. I mean, it's just gorgeous stuff. Built the amphitheater to seat 200 people, and it was used for family poetry readings. It would have been a great place for your family to have their musical.
Oh my gosh!
Period, right?
I did. So this house was on the market, and I was obsessed with this house. Like right. I wanted to buy this house, just you know.
Yeah.
And I was able to go down and sing.
Oh, nice!
In the right. amphitheater, and it was fantastic. I mean, the way that the marble was structured, and these massive, when I say massive, probably the size of this room. I mean, they were humongous. Uh-huh. And then they go deep into the ground, too. And just the acoustics of how it reverberated was yeah. incredible. And you could move a little bit, and then it would change. You could hear it, how it would bounce off the different rocks.
Yeah, this was really incredible. A professional concept that this
yeah.
family had. And they did invite some people to use it. Greenwich Academy students used it sometimes. Coscom school children did. And at one point, the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra came and did a rehearsal there, which mm-hmm. must have been quite an experience.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually, as Stephen says, the you know, these things change, and homes sell. And the new owner really didn't want an amphitheater in his garden.
Didn't want
he
it.
Wanted
didn't
to
didn't
build,
want it.
He wanted
Don't
to build a house in
oh.
that bowl location.
He wanted to put cookie cutter houses up and make it into 17 houses.
Well, it's, you know, it's this is a very hard topic.
Heartbreaking.
But it has a happy ending yeah. in okay. that a wonderful woman in Greenwich named Josie Merck, who lives mm-hmm. in Coscom, who's an alumna of Sarah Lawrence, mm-hmm. said, okay, you can't just destroy this. The man was going to just crush it into driveway gravel. So Josie Merck said, okay, she said, I will pay to get the stones out, palleted, numbered, and sent to Queens to a warehouse where they can be cleaned and honed and then put back together at Sarah Lawrence for the students to sit outside.
Oh, wow.
So the stones went, this is a wonderful thing, to a company called Ottavino in Queens. And they're the people who were hired when the Temple of Dendur in Egypt became threatened. Ottavino was hired by the Met mm-hmm. to
wow.
go and get the stones, do the same thing, pallet them, number them, bring them back, and then clean them and make them spectacular and put the Temple of Dendur together at the Met. And that's what they did. So to me, I love the fact that this was an Italian effort, and now, thanks to Josie Merck, these stones have also been cleaned and are being put together. It will be smaller than the amphitheater in Coscom was, but it's going to be a glorious focus for the students. However, as Steve said, that there were six sizable chunks of marble that couldn't be placed. They were too big for Sarah Lawrence. And those were going to be crushed. So the Connecticut Preservation Trust got in touch with the Board of Parks and Recreation and with me, and they said, let's think about what can happen. Can you possibly save them? We needed private funding. Thank you, my friends. I found the private funding. And they are now cleaned and gorgeous and are in the Montgomery Pine Needham, ready to be recognized by everyone as a beautiful, quiet place for music, for reflection, possibly for receptions. I think it's going to be unbelievable, these six massive monolithic stones. So life is good.
I like both of you because you're both getting interesting phone calls from people. But B, I just want to come back to you. Then I do want to come back around to the London Philharmonic. And we also talked about the young artists, Greenwich Young Artists Philharmonic, and we can talk about their place in the show next week, in the performance, I apologize, the performance next week. But B, you're an amazing lady as well. I mean, that's an understatement. It's a remarkable, inspirational. So just a little bit for our audience. Now, you sung at the White House.
I have. My singing began in Southeast Asia. In the Philippines, and it was a lovely chance to work with a fine conductor and work on the music. Unlike Steve's family, my family was under the, I guess, misapprehension, or but maybe not, that you shouldn't train a child's voice early because you could harm it. And maybe this was of my grandmother's era. I don't know. But I did the requisite piano lessons, but I did not have the vocal training because they were afraid I would hurt the voice, which is a little bit too bad. That would be in the preteens and in the teens.
More Broadway. Broadway is very young, you know.
And of course, so that is damaging. Yeah. We know that. Yeah. There are no Annies walking around with perfect voices anymore. Every child who's ever sung Annie has destroyed her chords. She has banged those chords together, and it's you can do very bad things if you don't have good training. So anyway, I wish I had had it, but I did not. So my music became a part of later life. And I have sung in Europe, not as the way Steve has. I'm not of that level. I love opera performances with a fantastic resident chorus. And so I was in the resident chorus with Connecticut Grand Opera for about 20 years and sang with New York Grand Opera in Carnegie Hall. And sang in the White House twice with the Grace Notes, which is a local a cappella music group here. And then was invited to join a group that was singing for Pope Benedict in the Vatican. And having lived in Rome, that's another story.
It was.
Being back there was just glorious. And there's nothing like walking in the back door of the Vatican, of this enormous basilica. It was just fantastic fun. So I've been lucky too. We've both had music as a blessing in our lives. And now to see new generations enjoying the music, I think is to me, it's extremely satisfying, and I'm sure it is to you, Steve. It's a lovely thing.
And to see
keep
them
it going.
Enjoying it through individuals preserving it, as you said, with the marble being moved up to Sarah Lawrence. So just that it's taking these characters that have been influenced by music and they see how it cultures their soul and their spirit and helps them sometimes travel the whole world. And to it's like a lineage that we do pass on and should honor and respect and keep in our society. And I think we're losing that at times, especially with social media and just a new generation, and that it is just so important that we have these programs like the Youth Artists Philharmonic that we'll speak more to.
Well said. No, you're absolutely right. And we know that there's so much that we can't affect in the world that we live in now. But this, through the kindness of good people, can make changes. And I love the fact that we are going to see the fruit of this you want to talk about London Philharmonic, the young artist?
Yeah,
what should we do? I don't want to interrupt your flow here.
The flow,
okay.
And we
flow.
Can talk about the young artist.
So, I mean, obviously, coming to see live performance is what is so amazing now. I mean, just being there, and if you are obviously a violinist or any string player or somebody that aspires to be in a symphony or orchestra, the concert is going to be so incredible that it's coming to the Palace Theater in Stamford on the 16th.
And you can get tickets. Sorry, I'll come in with the cheap side of this. But
you can.
www.palacestamford.org. And that is Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. The 16th at 8 p.m.
Correct.
And I got my tickets.
Yeah.
And they are selling out. I mean, I got them last week. They are selling out.
They're going well.
Jump in there. This is an incredible performance.
Mm-hmm. And they do have student tickets as well.
Yeah, London asked that I share that too, that they have $15 student tickets because, based on the mission, they want to have children exposed to the amazing mentoring that fine musicians can give and how extraordinary it will be for these kids to see what this is all about.
And let me just add, being a performer, going to see something like this inspires you so much.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just sitting in the room, practicing, you know, playing the violin, singing whatever, in a small room or what. This inspires you. It happens inside in your brain and everything just, you know, you need to be inspired as a performer. As an artist.
As a human. I was going to say, though I'm not a performer, going to events like this, they move you and they do invoke something that sometimes we often miss and we're so stressed out and life can become very lackluster, overwhelming. And this gives you an opportunity to connect with your heart and your soul. And
divinity.
You know,
That's right. The
vibration
Turn
of music.
Turn that phone off, right?
It's this geometry that just, you feel it.
Yeah.
It changes your whole being. Yeah. So it's like,
and in addition to the student tickets, there are regular seats at the Palace, all of which we know are good because it's such an amiably small venue that you're not having bad seats anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're from $32 up. And then there is going to be a gala that will begin at 6:30 before the concert in the Palace.
Anybody can go,
and it's $250 a ticket,
which
includes your an English supper, which is quite charming, beautiful English supper.
It starts at 6:30?
6:30,
yeah.
And
at
8 o'clock everyone will go into a very special group of seats in the theater itself, and then come back out for dessert and champagne. And there will be presentations by my little people, the Young Artists Philharmonic. They're going to greet people as they come in. It's so endearing. They're going to greet people as they come into the theater with a flute choir of eight children.
That's nice.
Imagine.
And how old are those?
They're quite young. They're quite young. They would be middle school and elementary school.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And then there are two middle school children who are going to play during the English supper, and they're going to do Vivaldi violin, which is to die. The most beautiful duet. I mean, it's just heaven.
So that
the London Philharmonic can see that this is the way that young musicians in this area can be trained. And again, those who, like the music masters in London, need the scholarship help, need the acknowledgement and the encouragement of fine musicians.
Mm-hmm. The local musicians.
The local, that's right, yes.
Something like
and
that.
These are from Stamford and Greenwich for the most part, and these children. And they have gone on to do amazing things as well. They represent a tradition that began in Stamford and has now moved here but also has Stamford base. And this tradition is one in which the understanding that music is for everyone is the key element.
How? So you, I want to come back around. So you get a call or you how did this come together so quickly? Or did, am I under this delusion that it came together quickly?
Well, it was
quick,
yeah.
I think it did, right?
It did, but there was always the big New York concerts were planned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our part came through quicker. And it was because I knew the whole family. I knew Lady Roby's family. Mm-hmm. And Stephen worked with her sister, and therefore, you know, the connection was quite a reasonable one. and a very exciting one to see all of this begin to happen. I will say, I'm sure you agree with this, that it's very tricky to plan a concert with a group of people who are in another country across the water. Very, yeah. Very tricky. And we have found wonderful synergy together, but it's a challenge.
And what's the challenge?
The challenge is that they, as a professional group, give concerts all over the world, so mm-hmm. they know what their format is, but they don't know the Palace Theater in Stamford. They have never been to the Palace Theater in Stamford. And so it was a matter of creating a venue for them which would be appropriate for the event itself, and which their skill and our mm-hmm. skill on the ground could pull together.
Well, that's just it, finding a venue too, right?
Very hard.
It's difficult.
So you didn't know right away what other places were considered?
Well, Greenwich High School would be a thought because of their new Performing Arts Center, but it's not big enough. It's not big enough.
It's a 100-piece orchestra.
It is. Yeah. And you needed a large space for this gala, this dinner mm-hmm. beforehand. And the acoustics at Greenwich High School are spectacular. I credit them so much for that. But it was just not a sizable enough mm-hmm. location. So the Palace was the winner, and it's going to be a lovely place. The Palace is dear to my heart. I sang there for 30 years.
I mean, it really is just an incredible treat for this area.
It is. I know that people are feeling that mm-hmm. it is a treat. When you go to London, it's hard to get tickets for London Philharmonic. You'd have to plan that way ahead. And all of a sudden, they're on our proverbial doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, cool. And let's take a break. Yeah. Let's take a break. So, this is Noreen Ehrlich. You're listening to Defy and Hustle Radio, and we are talking about the London Philharmonic and their appearance next Tuesday at the Palace Theater, palacestamford.org.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Good evening. We've got a heavy ride here on the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike. We're still looking at, quite a bit of traffic. Your travel time from the state line up to Route 7 is 52 minutes. On the northbound Murrett Parkway, that same trip, a 45-minute ride. The T.J. Martell Foundation's Music's Promise for a Cure. To learn more, visit tjmartell.org. That's tjmartell.org. I'm Jay Trelease in the 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly clear, frosty, cold tonight, lows 30 to 35. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and seasonable, highs in the mid-50s. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow night, the low near 40. Friday, mostly cloudy but dry, highs 55 to 60. Morning showers and partly sunny, upper 60s. Saturday. Stuck in jail? The Bail King is here to help. Bail Bonds offices open in New York and Connecticut 24/7. Go to thebailking.com. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Good evening. We've got a heavy ride here on the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike. We're still looking at, quite a bit of traffic. Your travel time from the state line up to Route 7 is 52 minutes. On the northbound Murrett Parkway, that same trip, a 45-minute ride. The T.J. Martell Foundation's Music's Promise for a Cure. To learn more, visit tjmartell.org. That's tjmartell.org. I'm Jay Trelease in the 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Very limited clouds around tonight. Mostly clear skies. That's going to allow those temperatures to fall off. Lows 30 to 35. Some areas of frost towards morning. Mostly sunny, seasonable tomorrow, a high around 55. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds, a low near 40. Friday, a dry day, but there will be a fair amount of cloudiness, 55 to 60. Some morning showers Saturday, that partly sunny, warmer, high 65 to 70. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
Are you a business owner who's suffering from what I call the entrepreneur's dilemma? That means you have a successful business, but you're so caught up in operations that you are overwhelmed, maybe you're capital constrained, or you just know that you can scale your business to another level, but you need help doing that. This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defiant Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and CPA in Wall Street's fast-paced real estate private equity industry, where I helped start up and turn around hundreds of underperforming businesses. Based on this know-how, I created a 100-day plan that I tailor to your business to make sure that you streamline operations, drive performance, and generate profits fast. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or by calling me at 475-333-2173.
Hi, everybody. This is Noreen Ehrlich. You're listening to Defiant Hustle. Hi. Welcome back. I'm here with Kelly Trepagne, who's co-hosting with me tonight, but I also have two wonderful people in the room who are ambassadors on behalf of the London Philharmonic, which is going to be playing at the Palace Theater in Stamford on Tuesday, April 16th, and you can get tickets at, palacestamford.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about, so why in Stamford versus Greenwich?
So we were discussing about that a couple days ago, where Palace Theater is fantastic, love it. It's in Stamford. Greenwich, we really do not have anything here in town. We have the new high school theater that was just built, and it's fantastic, but for Greenwich as a town, we really have nothing.
Has there ever been something? There must have been.
There has not. We are the only town between here and Bridgeport that does not have an arts center.
The only town.
Wow. The only town. So, in 2004, the Board of Education, who occupy the Havemeyer Building in the center of Greenwich Avenue, went to the press and said that they had to get out of that structure, that it was not an office building, it was originally a school, and it was not well configured as a Class A office building. They wanted to be in a Class A office building and do their work in a more efficient manner by virtue of being in the right place. That was an open invitation to me and to a group of dear, dear friends to consider if the Havemeyer Building, which is built in 1893, if it would be a possible venue for all the arts, and if it were safe from asbestos, one never knows from that time of construction, and thus began a 5-year task with a group of friends to find the building's strong points and weak points, to get an architect to design studios for dance, for the teaching of music, both individual and orchestral. Three theaters. There's one theater in the building now because the schools do generally have theaters in that time and place. And to create a wonderful place for the arts, including digital arts, including children's art studio. And at the end of 5 years, the Board of Education said, you know, it was a different board. I will grant them that. Board of Education is revoted every 2 years. You have different people coming and going. And they changed their mind. They decided they did not want to give up their spot on Greenwich Avenue.
You know where it is on Greenwich Avenue, right?
It's. I'm saying it's a diagonal across from my landmark, which is Starbucks. So
it is indeed. That's very good. Diagonal across from Starbucks. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Spent a lot of time in Starbucks looking at asbestos reports and all the rest of it. Yes.
So what do you think? They just the town doesn't want to budge on certain.
Well, you see, it's not the town.
It's not the town.
At that point, my husband was selectman.
Okay.
And Peter Tessie, first Jim Lash was first selectman, then Peter Tessie was first selectman. And towns in this state don't have control over boards of education. They pay for all the activities of the Board of Education. All the school costs are funded by the town of Greenwich, but decisions are not made by the town. And that was really the problem, that there was no enthusiasm after a certain point with the Board of Education. If I sound bitter, I'm a bit bitter.
Well, it's shocking to me, because it's just something that's so important for the town and for the kids.
I know.
What would make you think this is a bad idea?
And this was a private partnership at that point. We were funded by friends who helped us pay for our operating expenses. And the proposed donations were all based upon the assumption that we got clearance from the Board of Education to go ahead and do the work on the building, which was extensive. So we had conditional pledges that took us up to about $45 million.
Wow.
So you had $45 million?
No, we didn't have it. We had conditional pledges for that. That we could have called upon had the demand occurred. And we had to say, we're so sorry, thank you for your kindness and your grace, but it can't happen. We're not going to be able to do this.
So are you still pursuing this, B?
No. 5 years, finito.
All right, but you're still mad.
But this just still mad.
You're still holding on to that.
I'm going to let Stephen go ahead and do it. Yes. I'm going to let you do it. I cannot do it anymore.
We need fresh blood to get involved.
He's
saying he would love to.
Yeah, he's the new fresh blood on the scene.
Yes.
And it sounded like, B, you said even the digital arts now. So it sounded like it wouldn't just be something.
Oh, we have the schematics. We have the plans. We have the list of donations that people can make. It's wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff.
Is there some
but is the building sturdy enough now? I don't know. It's old.
It's old.
It's diminishing, as buildings do. It gets very wet in the basement in the winter. Big fans going to cool it all and keep it as dry as possible. So I think the Havemeyer Building is probably not going to be the spot for it. I hope I don't see it demolished in my lifetime, but I may. Because it's becoming a very difficult place to work and focus.
Right.
And that's very sad.
You would need some real estate developer with a very creative mindset.
Exactly. To demolish. I don't know. Maybe rehabilitate.
Condominium.
Well, no, I'd say put up an art center.
To be the theme in this town.
But dead center in the middle of Greenwich Avenue.
Okay, so I wanted to come back around because the London Philharmonic, this one-night performance, was spearheaded by Lady Victoria Robey, OBE, and she was doing it to honor her father, Lloyd Hull. And there are certain values when you read about Lloyd. He was a powerful member of the community, served on the RTM for decades. He was a lawyer here in town. He was a World War II veteran. He really seemed to honor his family. And I was wondering your opinions on those kinds of values, because he was described as old. I'm trying to see if he was described as the last of a generation of patriotic gentlemen. Do you see those values anymore? Are you concerned when you see all the social media that we're losing track of what's important in the community?
course. I mean, I like to think of myself as like a classic
young gentleman.
Gentleman. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, yes. Open the door for ladies, anybody, really,
you
know.
Yourself
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Saying thank you and, you know, being kind in general to other people and cuz what comes around goes around. So to think of Lloyd in this way and maybe bringing this up will inspire new younger lads to be like him, you know what I mean?
I was inspired to find somebody, you know, like him. So it's
principles, and when you have something to live for and passion like the arts offer, it helps create those characters. And without these staples in our community, we might lose that and veer far away from it.
Right, mm-hmm.
That's right. No, I agree.
Well, I wanted to see now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we have on B. Krembein, who you're the ambassador at large for the town of Greenwich, correct?
I am.
So you're a celebrity, and then we have on Stephen Magnusson, who is also a celebrity and an opera singer. And we, when Stephen wanted to come on the show, when he reached out, we said, you have to sing. So, Stephen, will you sing... Before, if there's anything else we want to mention, but as we go out, will you sing a little bit for us?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
If there's anything else,
I think we'll just quickly mention if people want the gala tickets.
Yeah, the gala tickets. Oh, that's right.
So if they want the gala tickets, they can call me at 203-610-2923. Again, 203-610-2923.
This is for the gala.
Yeah.
That right. starts at 6:30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. This is a fundraiser.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is at the theater, and then you go into the performance. Or actually, if you go to the gala, you have to pay. You still have to get additional tickets to go into the performance.
No,
the gala. No. It's all in.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay, okay.
But as we said, there are student tickets, which are certainly worth remembering. And there are regular tickets that go from $32 on up, available at the Palace Theater box office.
Okay.
So there should not be people that really, really want to hear this who will miss it because it is accessible, once in a lifetime accessible. We will never have this again.
All right.
So, we're ready to
Steve,
go?
Would you like to all sign right. us okay. off with your vocals?
Everybody, this is all our right. local celebrity, Stephen Magnusson, singing us out. This is Noreen Ehrlich, Kelly, B, Josh, signing off. Here we go.
Ave Maria, gratia plena. Maria, gratia plena. Maria, gratia plena, Ave, Ave Dominus, Dominus tecum.
Nice. Very nice.
People
in the street love it too. That's great. That's great.
Nice.
It was such a pleasure to have you two on and to learn more about the history.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is fun.
Hopefully, it inspired our listeners.
Thank you very much. And we thank you. It was delightful. Thank you.
I appreciate that you came. It's my honor. I know Stephen, and it's my honor that you sang.
Thank you.
I've heard a lot of wonderful, phenomenal. Stories about you and just how much you contribute to the community.
Thank you. And love this town.
Mm-hmm.
I introduce people when they come.
UCH Greenwich.
Presidential pushback. I'm Barbara Cusack. The Treasury Department said it is not handing over President Trump's taxes to a House panel today. It said it was unable to complete the review of the request made by the House Ways and Means.